Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
Today we're speaking with esteemed editor of Runner's World, Andy Dixon, about his grand plans now that he's turned 50. But you've got a birthday coming up, Jane, as well.
I have. I'm turning the big 30 this year and kind of freaking out about it. But I'm sure the listeners of the Runner's World podcast haven't tuned in to hear me having a breakdown about turning 30. So, but Andy has inspired me actually to kind of maybe, you know, I won't give away what he's doing, but maybe I should be doing something similar for a big birthday. What do you think?
Yeah, well, obviously you've got the option, like, you know, doing 30 miles on your 30th birthday. It's pretty full on though, isn't it? Like just a casual ultra.
It is, yeah. Like, I do like the idea of doing an ultra, but I think on my actual birthday might be a bit, not sad, it's the wrong word, but might not be the kind of way I want to spend turning 30, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'll change my mind and I want to be running alone. Running from my troubles.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I mean, you could always do 30K, maybe. What's that, about 18 miles?
I could do that. You know, at the moment, I think I'm leaning more towards, you know, go on holiday, sit on a beach and cry in the sea. But if I decide that that's not the kind of vibe I want, or if lockdowns happen, yeah, 30K to turn 30 is, I'll commit to that. If okay. I can't go on holiday, I'll do that. If I can go on holiday, sorry, Runner's World, I'm out.
Well, last week you were telling us a little bit about the copyrighted Jane Maguire joy plan.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Well, I've had a few messages to people on my Instagram who are like, this is such a great idea. Why don't more people do this? So I feel like I've convinced a few people to follow the joy plan and it's going really well. I, you know, didn't run at all. I went to visit a friend at the weekend and, you know, didn't run from like Thursday to Monday. Did really easy run last night. And I think old Jane pre-joy plan would have been like, oh my God, like, you know, not doing any running over that time would have been kind of a bit, you know, a bit of like, oh, or should I take my running shoes just in case? Whereas I'm like, no, you know, I don't need to. I guess a lot of people will be in this position where it's like, I haven't seen people or, you know, really made plans or really done stuff in quite a while. And I think that's probably not been that good for me because it's let me become more obsessed than I should be about exercise and fitness. So I just, yeah, took a few days off. Watched loads of Paw Patrol and hung out with some babies and it was really fun and I didn't do any running and I did a really gentle 3 miles last night and that was fine. Should have done 4, couldn't be bothered, it was really cold, stopped at 3. So joy plan is going really well.
I like it. It's sort of taking back control a bit, isn't it? Because I think when you've got a plan, you're kind of being told a little bit what to do.
Yeah, exactly.
But with the joy plan, you're in the driving seat.
Good. And if you don't feel like it today, I'm going to go and run after work today because I've had a day where I like sit behind my laptop and I know that that's just a bit boring. So I'm going to go out and do another really easy run tonight. But so far, so good. How about you? Are you running? How's the knee? What's the latest?
Knee's going okay. I think I'm maxing out at like 3 runs a week. That's when the knee starts like complaining. So until the op, I'm like 3 runs, that's cool. That's fine. And I'm really enjoying them and they're not, I mean, I'm not setting the world alight with the runs, but they're kind of like, I'm doing like 3 8-mile runs.
Okay.
So it kind of works out, like it's okay. And it's great to get out and a couple of those are with the running buggy, which I've actually kind of come round to as a item, having slagged it off previously saying, no one wants to run with a buggy, but actually It's actually all right.
So you do 8 miles with your son in the buggy. How does he feel about that?
Yeah, I think that my son quite enjoys it. We don't do a lot of dialogue, actually.
It's
been pretty cold as well, so I'm just wrap him up in like loads of layers and then do like the odd like sort of attempt to sing the odd song, but can't because I'm out of breath.
Okay.
and then I just bring the buggy back from the nursery, so we, you know, without anyone in it. But it works out about 8 miles. So it's a nice way to start the day, actually. So it's just sort of getting them in. I've been reading the Catherine Switzer book, Marathon Woman.
Ooh.
And it's amazing. Like, it's amazing, obviously, for lots of reasons we might know, like, you know, first woman to officially run Boston, mm-hmm. a trailblazer in that world. But some of the kind of back to basic strength and conditioning stuff she talks about is amazing. So she said she had a knee problem, and the physio said to her, it's part of this because your quads aren't strong enough, and you need to do that. You know that wall sit exercise where you're kind of on that imaginary chair.
Yeah.
And she's like, does it? And she's like, after about 70 seconds the first time, she's like, I can't do this. But she carries on doing it, and she ends up doing it she can do it 11 minutes at a time.
Oh my god!
I know.
I don't think I could do one. I'm going to try after the podcast. Everyone listening, try. Stop what you're doing. Go and try.
I did this morning. I was like, I did 2 minutes, and I was like, that is enough.
Okay.
Like, I'm not going much over that at all. 11 minutes. It's like, it's incredible. So there you go.
Another reason
to like her.
To love her.
Yeah. I've got a couple of things here. One was a quick study, Jane. That I'd be interested in.
Love a study.
You love footwear. You've run in a lot of shoes.
Uh-huh.
And I think that, obviously, shoes are amazing. We all think that. But there's a kind of dizzying array of shoes now. And you can maybe you can go in and think something's going to be good or be told something's going to be good. But this latest study, I think, is quite good for just kind of demystifying some of it. And it found that, essentially, you want to go for a comfortable pair of shoes. And the reason for that is you will actually run more efficiently in a comfortable pair of shoes, according to this study. So it found that it offered people a variety of shoes, and they had to determine for themselves which one they thought was most comfortable, which was least comfortable. And the people ended up running more efficiently in a shoe that was more comfortable. So if you want to kind of cut through all the kind of jargon and try a shoe on, if it feels comfortable, chances are you're going to run well in it, which I think is actually quite a nice, simple message.
I like that. I think it is super overwhelming, especially if you're trying to avoid going to running shops. And, you know, obviously you definitely should support your local running shop. But, you know, if you're shopping online, I think it's just like, how do you know? Yeah. How do you know what to pick? But I know that I have been lucky enough to test lots and lots and lots of running shoes, but I still wear the same two pairs that I love again and again. I'll run in a pair because I know I need to write about it. But I 100% think if you're comfortable, then you're happier and you probably run better for that. So
definitely,
just be comfy. Don't go for the shoes that look cool. Go for the ones that fit your feet.
Excellent advice. We got a letter in, but it's sort of to do with your Chicago. I think you should probably read it out, Jane.
Yeah, this is from Jonathan Barnes, and he says, "Hi all, love the podcast. I was delighted to hear that Jane's been successful in the Chicago Marathon ballot. Thank you. So have I. It will be my fourth marathon after New York, which he did in 4:25, and he said inexperienced. Berlin 4:40, undercooked after a heart issue, which is now resolved. That's good to hear. And London 4 and a bit after running a marathon and a bit, i.e. not in a straight line. I think that's something everyone does, isn't it? I'll be 62 next month, so we'll be trying a good for age time at Boston, which is 3:50. Oh no, sorry. He'll be trying to get a good for age Boston entry time, which is 3:50 in October. For London, I've adopted the Hanson Marathon method that you'll no doubt be aware of. It's a commitment. You run for 6 days a week for about 18 weeks, but you do a real mix of different sorts of running. And in contrast to most plans, you don't really do long runs. If Jane hasn't tried it, I recommend she gives it a go. Anyway, I look forward to hearing more about her build up nearer the time. Keep up the good work." Thanks, Jonathan.
What a nice letter.
I hadn't heard of the Hanson method, so I know that you probably know more, Rick. What is it? What am I doing?
Yeah, I was intrigued by this because I thought this is a sort of... I've always thought that perhaps we put too much emphasis on the long run in traditional marathon schedules. And I think the Hanson method thinks that as well. So your long runs end up being, I think they kind of alternate between sort of 10 miles and 16 miles. And then occasionally towards the sort of action end of the schedule, you might have to do a 10 followed by a 16. So that's how they kind of get that big mileage in. And yeah, the frequency is quite high. So yeah, 6 days a week, and there's a lot of marathon pace running. So that's probably where it differs from a traditional. I did quite fancy it. Cause I, yeah, like I said, I do think that maybe we put too much emphasis on a long run, and then you don't recover maybe from that kind of 20 mile long run.
I've never gone over 20 in a. I know that a lot of people do 22 or even 24, and in my head I'm like, how? how do you like recover in time? But I don't know. I'm so far off even thinking about getting back into marathon training, because I'm trying to mentally have a break from marathon training. But I do quite like the idea of that. I think 10 to 16 miles is much easier to fit in, isn't it, if you've got other commitments, or if you want to have a life and not, you know, not let marathon training take over. That's definitely easier to fit in, isn't it, than doing that old like Sunday long run where you don't get 3 hours, back. Yeah, right. You don't get back till like 11 and then everyone hates you.
Yeah, totally. I was looking into it a bit, and I think that I'm right. I think a lot of European plans, although it would be in kilometres, their long run ends up being about, the longest run ends up being about 18 miles. So it's a bit of a British obsession, the kind of 22-mile marathon long run. So maybe more people should think about like not running 22, or even, like you say, almost running the distance in training.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there you go. And then I was looking at some other little marathon training methods, and I remember one that my wife did, and I did to a certain extent, our first marathon. It was really good. It's called the Furman method, and that's only 3 runs a week with 2 cross training sessions thrown in. So it's quite good if like the whole mileage game is sort of new to you. You can get really fit without, you know, necessarily like all the injury risk that sort of running lots of miles does. So there's a few options. I think there's lots of ways to approach a marathon. It isn't just one kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what I learned most from having a coach. And I'm not saying everyone, you know, should get a coach, but I think it really isn't one size fits all to do a marathon. And I always say this to people, that I think you download a marathon training plan, hopefully from runnerswild.com/UK, and then you're like, oh my god, I've got to start running 5 times a week, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do this. But if your body's not used to that, you're then going to get all these niggles and these shin splints and these things that you're then going to have to carry through a whole training plan, aren't you? So it makes so much more sense to me to kind of, once you get your spot on the ballot, find out what works for your body. And for a lot of people, I'm imagining that's probably not doing 6 days a week, 5 days a week, really high mileage. It's probably going to be a bit more kind of smarter and training kind of to how it works for your body. So I think if you're a beginner and you're looking at marathons, try and look around and see, you know, shop for your perfect marathon training plan.
Well, I think we'll bring Andy on to discuss his sort of 50th birthday and how he's planning to celebrate it.
Guest of the week. Guest of the week, sometimes on the phone, could be an athlete, could be a physio, or a complete unknown.
So Andy Dixon, welcome back to the Runner's World podcast. Been a while since we've had you on.
It has. Thanks for having me back on. Apologies to regular listeners expecting a high profile guest. You'll have to make do with me today. But yeah, it's good to be back, Rick.
Well, I was interested in getting you on because your editor's note in, I think, the current issue of Runner's World, it details some pretty grand plans. So I thought maybe you could share them with listeners, and we could talk a little bit about the kind of motivation behind what's going to be a bumper year for you.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know quite how this happened. I mean, COVID is part of the reason, but I realised the other day that the last time I did a race was with you and Joe, the deputy editor of Runner's World, 3 years ago at the Country to Capital. So it's 3 years since I did a proper race, and that seems to me to be far too long. And I'm not sure how I let it get so long. I think I just got out of the habit, you know, during COVID, the lockdowns, I was just going out for runs just for mental health and fresh air. And I think, you know, it struck me that although I'm very comfortable in this, I won't call it a rut, I'll call it a kind of pattern or a trend. I'm quite happy just going out for run by feel runs each day. You know, how far should I go today? Should I go long, short, depending on my mood? That's all great. And I still do that now, but I kind of feel like after 3 years, I need a bit of focus and I need some goals and, you know, milestones, for want of a better word, to kind of structure my year. So, you know, I need the kind of carrot of a race in the diary to force me out to do speed work sessions and long runs at the weekends. That, you know, I think certainly in my experience, the sessions that have been easiest to drop are the kind of the harder ones. You know, it's hard, and especially, you know, when we've been working from home and in lockdown, it's quite hard to rouse yourself to do a speed work session alone. I would say it's a lot easier when there's two or three or more of you, and you know, you're kind of egging each other on, or you don't want to lose face. You know, there's kind of joint motivation there. So I feel like I need a kind of loose plan just to, I'd like to really feel like I was building my running towards something. So yeah, in my editor's letter, I talked about how I want to get back into racing this year.
Yeah.
And the loose plan, although, you know, the fairly large caveat is I've not actually, apart from a place in the London Marathon in October, I've not signed up for any of the races yet, but the loose plan is to do a spring marathon in April or May. And as a part of the build up to that, probably do a half marathon earlier, like halfway through, as you know, as there's the tradition.
Yeah.
And maybe some 10Ks just to kind of, you know, feel my way back into racing. And then because I'm turning the grand old age of 50 at the end of May, I wanted to do a 50 mile or at least a 50 mile ultra at some point this year. Yeah. You know, this, it doesn't have to be right close to my birthday, but you know, there's the race director of the Boston Marathon, Dave McGillivray, started this tradition where he would, at every birthday, he would run the number of years that he was that birthday. He would do a kind of run. So obviously, you know, on his 50th birthday, I think he did a 50 miler. Now he's 67. So he's kind of, he does part of it as running and part as a cycle ride. Cause obviously you can't just keep running. Well, it'd be quite hard to keep running until you're like 80 miles on your 80th birthday. So I was just kind of inspired by that idea. And yeah. And as I also say, my editor's letter is, as kind of midlife crises go, running a 50 mile ultra is probably a cheaper and a bit healthier than going out and splurging on a 2-seater sports car or getting a tattoo. So that was the thinking. But yes, as of today, I still haven't signed up for it. But they always say that to make your goals feel, you know, to motivate you, to make them feel more concrete, you put them out there in public. So it's in the mag and it's on this podcast. So
it's got to happen.
It's got to happen now. But if anyone's got any suggestions about what ultras are, you know, I could do, or what ultra I could do in the summer, I'd be glad to hear them.
Okay. Well, that's a good invite. So that's podcast@runnersworld.co.uk for suggestions for Andy. And 50 miles and, I remember when we did our last ultra, which was country to capital, which was great. I said the first 26 miles were great because they were really good looking miles, weren't they? And then we hit the canal, the Grand Union Canal, and it got a lot harder. So are you thinking of that, actually having something that's visually interesting might be a good,
Yeah, I think so. You're absolutely right. I mean, it was a bit counterintuitive, that race, wasn't it? Because the kind of hilly parts, the beautiful Buckinghamshire parts seem to kind of whiz by. And, you know, obviously we were self-navigating, so you've got a kind of distraction as well. But when we hit the canal and it was flat, you know, it's like, right, the finish line is 20 miles away in that direction. And you can't go wrong. I mean, obviously it was towards the end of the race as well, and our legs were getting tired. But I think scenery and, you know, obviously don't mind hills, probably something off-road. Just so it's kind of more of a journey. And I hasten to add, there's no, I'm not putting any pressure on myself to hit a goal time. It's just completion. Completion and enjoyment is the goal.
Is there any part of you that's like, having not raced for a bit, is like, it's kind of scared about getting back on the start line and feel like, you know, you might feel a bit rusty and all the rest of it?
Yeah, Yeah, I think I'm bound to. But, you know, I kind of want that adrenaline of, you know, of being on the start line again. I mean, all of this is you know, as I said with the ultra, with the other races, I don't think time is going to be my overriding kind of goal. It's like, I'm not going to put an extra layer of pressure on myself to do it in a certain time. I'll have a time window, which I'll be kind of happy to do a half marathon in based on where my fitness is. And similarly with the marathon, I'll try to run it to the best of my ability, but I'm not going to beast myself like I did, you know, in the days. You know, I've been running for 15 years now, and I think most of the first kind of 5, maybe 10 years of that, it was all about chasing goals and times. And
yeah,
I think that was great, and it's eventually led to doing the sub-3 in London in 2013, which I've been dining off. I've been dining off that ever since, and I don't think I'll put myself through the grinder to try and do something like that again. But I think, you know, if there's a kind of halfway house between where I am now, which is just, like I said, running on feel and pootling along, you know, if there's a halfway house between there and, you know, running 50-60 mile weeks to chase a sub-3, that's what I'm aiming for, something that will get me fit, keep me focused, and give my year a bit of structure. Because I think after 2 years that have been kind of, you know, really affected by COVID, I feel as if it's time to get back in. And obviously, again, leading up to London as well in October. And maybe, I mean, not this year, but next year's goal would be to maybe look at doing an Ironman at some point.
You've done a half Ironman, haven't you, before?
Yeah. Yeah, and that, you know, I'd like to do more ultras and other kinds of events, but I suppose in my kind of event CV, as it were, the full Ironman triathlon is the pinnacle of endurance triathlon. So I've got the half, you know, it'd be nice to get the full, but you know, when you look at what you would have to do, you know, I'm under no illusions that would just require an enormous amount of training time, the cycling, the swimming. It's not just the running. So again, this is big talk coming from my mouth. We'll see how it pans out.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you think there's something as you get older that's appealing about sort of going longer rather than, as you say, like, you know, trying to run a sub-3 hour marathon again? Do you feel kind of drawn to the kind of ultra distance stuff?
Yeah, I think so. It becomes more about the kind of experience, I think. That's not to say that you can't aim to run fast and run fast times anymore, but I think just where I am in my running, I think it's more just about the more holistic experiential side. And I think obviously an ultra being such a long race gives you more of that. I think, you know, when we did our ultra, or my only ultra, which was with you, I just found that the whole experience, the 8 hours of running that we did, just it was really good, really enjoyable, and I'd like to do more of that. You know, ultra seems to be a kind of a class of race that people, once you get into it, people really love it and tend to really stay there and do more and more. So yeah, that's probably where I'll explore. But yeah, the first step is to just get that first one in the bag for the summer.
Other than COVID, why do you think that maybe like racing might have fallen off the radar? Because I do think it's funny, we were talking with Jane earlier, and Jane's like said, like, for the past 7 years she's been sort of training for marathons for 7 years, and like she's kind of stepping back a little bit from racing because she just feels a bit like slightly burned out by it maybe, and like maybe some of the joy has gone out of it. Did you feel similar after, like, because going sub three, that was a big old effort, that wasn't it, like over several years, was it kind of after that you felt, you know what, I need to
it was definitely, and I think everyone's running careers probably follow the same or similar ebbs and flows, and for me it was just, you know, the first few years of it was all about doing your first marathon, and then it was bringing your time down, and it was ticking off the majors. As you said, for me, running sub three was really, really difficult. And I had two goes at it. The first time I missed out by 2 minutes, and that was in Chicago in 2012. And basically, I just, because I was well trained, and that was in October, I just thought, I'm just going to give it another push in London in April 2013. So I kind of just, I had a few weeks off, but I kind of carried all that training through. And it, you know, I felt good at the start of training, you know, the kind of base, the so-called base, the base training. I felt super fit right at the start. So I had a good kind of bedrock of training to do it on. But I think if I hadn't done it that second time, I don't think I would have tried again, because it just took over my life, you know. Double days, just feeling tired all the time. Weekends basically just built around the long run. You know, and although you could get your long run done by lunchtime on Sunday, it kind of wipes out the rest of Sunday.
Yeah.
And this is before my wife and I had our daughter, and that made it easier because I could just settle on the couch after a long run, whereas now I couldn't. And that's what, probably in retrospect, I'm thinking, talking about doing an Ironman, it might not be realistic, but my daughter will be a bit older then. But I'm aware that it's going to take a lot of time out of my schedule. But yeah, so it felt like a bit of the enjoyment had gone out of my running. So I knew after I'd done the sub three that I wasn't going to try and go 257 or 255, because it was like, well, I don't want to put myself through the ringer. And I've still done races since then. I've done quite a lot of London marathons as a pacer, which has been really enjoyable. But yeah, I think that, you know, the pendulum, I think there's room for the pendulum to swing back a bit towards, you know, competition and
the
fulfillment of and motivating force of feeling like you're training for a goal and trying to achieve it. Because actually that part of it, I really, really enjoyed. And even looking back, you know, I'm really proud that I managed to run a sub three, because I'm quite a stocky character, you know, in terms of my frame. I'm quite stocky. I'm not like a natural runner. I'm not kind of some runners are kind of thin and can move through the air quite quickly, and I've got big old thighs and wide shoulders, and it's it was hard and so, you know, the fact that I made the plan and plotted my way through it, didn't succeed the first time, looked at what I was doing wrong or what I could improve the second time around, and succeeded the second time around, just looking back at it, it makes me proud. And I'm sure other runners can relate to that, when you set a goal and achieve it, even though the race is in the past, that, you know, that sense of achievement and fulfillment that you get from when a plan comes together is something that stays with you, I think.
Yeah, I go completely. And I think it's nice, the idea that running can, it can morph. And I think if it's gonna be something that's sustainable and that's kind of in your life, it has to adapt to what you want to get from it, what your circumstances are. But I like the idea that it's not just, you know, being very, very competitive and then you achieve a major goal and then you become less and less competitive. I mean, the idea that actually you could then, you know, take a couple of years and then go, okay, I want to go back and test myself again is quite nice, even if it's in a slightly different way, if it's more about kind of completing it rather than, you know, getting a good time.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as we get older and as I get older, obviously you have to look for different measures of success, don't you? Because PBs are realistically, unless you start while you're in your late 40s, PBs are going to be increasingly off the menu as the years go by. So you have to look for other ways to find fulfillment out of running, and whether that's still in, you know, on the performance side, looking at your age graded performance levels, or it's just something more holistic, which is, you know, to stay injury free or to keep finding new fun and fulfillment in your runs rather than, you know, the digits on a clock. I think absolutely. We've done a lot of content recently in the mag about masters runners and how they, you know, how they perform and still perform into their 60s and 70s and 80s. And it's really inspiring to read their accounts of how they measure success and what keeps them coming back for more. And I, you know, ultimately, really long-term, I'd like to be one of those runners, someone who's, you know, I will be a lifelong runner because it brings so much to my life. But I hope I'm like them, you know, still in 20 years time, finding things to draw from the sports to inspire me and new things to discover. And I think there always will be. There's always new events and there's always new people to meet, a new joy to be had. So that's the long term plan.
Andy, I think it sounds great. And thanks very much for making the time to come on the Runner's World podcast. Talk us through your goals for this year and beyond. It was great to chat to you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. I hope you enjoyed listening and we'll see you again next week.
After a very brief hiatus, you can now subscribe once again to 3 issues of Runner's World for just £5. Head to hearstmagazines.co.uk/Runner's World podcast to get this exclusive offer. And you can listen to the Runner's World podcast on Acast, iTunes, all your favourite podcast apps, you know that, but just search Runner's World UK and please do subscribe. Thanks for listening and we'll see you again next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.